I believe Maura should be joining us soon, but if she's not here in the next few minutes, since everything on the agenda is from our last meeting that we canceled, sorry about being out. I had a migraine. It's really unpleasant. But yeah, so if Maura's not here in a few minutes, we can get started. But I'll give her a few more. All right, it's been a few minutes, so I think we can get started. And if Maura joins us later on, then that's great. To start off, is there someone who can take notes for today?
Amelia, I'll be happy to take notes.
Awesome. Thank you, Lola.
Sure.
So there were tickets that I wanted to look at. And then I just wanted to go back and take a look at the gap list that we already have and see if we can figure out some priorities of what we want to work on next. So let's start with these three tickets. I will share my screen. All right. Can you see the meeting notes for today? Or I guess this is from last time, but same agenda.
Thank you.
This first ticket, this one I had already closed as won't do. This was originally an ask from Library of Congress. But once we clarified how much effort it would take to implement, they decided that it wasn't a top priority for them. But I wanted to bring it to this group and see if there was interest in it so that we could reopen it and hold on to it if there is. So this ticket would exclude users with the patron user type from being displayed in certain areas of Folio. Essentially, there are a lot of places where it doesn't make sense for a patron who is not also a staff member and is logging into Folio. It doesn't make sense for those users to come up in the Find User plugin. So, acquisitions units, I think, is a great example. Acquisitions units are just used internally in Folio. And so there's no reason that a patron who wouldn't be logging into Folio would need to be assigned an acquisition unit. So the idea is we would just exclude patrons from the search results. And then there are a whole bunch of places where this comes up, mostly in acquisitions, ERM, and then a couple small ones with Export Manager and assigning permissions. And we would also extend this. Actually, if we develop this now, this would be user roles since we're moving to Eureka completely going forward. So first impressions from folks. Personally, this feels like something that would be nice to have, but I don't see it as necessary for the five colleges. Oh, and Tara in the chat, do most non-ECS libraries use this field? This would be a reason to start for sure. Yeah, I know at the five colleges we don't use this field currently. But I think if more features were developed that took advantage of it could be something that we start using.
That would be, sorry, I'm sick with COVID, so I don't really have a voice, but
Oh
ooh, I
no,
know.
sorry.
We also, Amelia, do not currently use this feature at MSU, but I could see down the road, again, like you said, if more development was here, I could see us doing that. Maybe using it and but right now this is not a priority for us.
I talked to my Folio team, and we see this in the context of GDPR that it might be necessary in certain areas, not perhaps in all. And yeah, we agreed that it will be useful or necessary, and want to talk about this internally within the next 2 weeks. I have to find a date where everyone can participate. It's a little bit different difficult, but I think this is on our agenda in the near time, that this will be needed, especially some of the listed areas.
And I think, actually, first, does anyone else have any more comments on this? Or is the general consensus that this is either nice to have, or of course, if it's a GDPR requirement, we will need to work on it. But other than that, does anyone else have responses to this?
No, I don't see it as a big priority for libraries that I have worked with. Although, the any complications brought about by GDPR that will be interesting to consider in the future. Thank you for raising that.
I see.
So I'm going to leave the ticket closed for now.
Yeah.
And issue if you get back and this is important for GDPR, we can reopen it then.
Yeah, but I think it might be useful to have separate single tickets for each area. Perhaps I will come back with it.
All right. Does that look good to everyone? This may be necessary for GDPR compliance, but in general, it's only nice to have, but not a major priority. Maybe we could break it into separate enhancements by area in the future, and we're going to keep this closed for now.
Yeah, I'm fine with it.
Okay. All right, and then the next ticket. And I can't remember if this was on the gap list already. No, it wasn't. Okay. So this ticket is to add functionality to allow you to duplicate or clone a user record. I think, yeah, so the main focus on this is for from public libraries, where if a family is coming in and you need to register a bunch of people and they have a whole bunch of overlapping information, like if everyone's using a parent's email address or their physical home address is the same, being able to duplicate users in this way could be useful. So is there anyone where this would be useful at your institution? I think at the five colleges, we're probably in the same place that you are at MSU, Aaron, that this I could see why it would be useful for a public library, but it's not something that we need.
Well, I was thinking about it just now. I think most of our libraries will have two user accounts for staff members if they also want to be a patron. So they will have a separate login for internal purposes and another user account for patron purposes. But in this case, the duplication isn't important, as there might be, on the one hand, the library address, and in the other account it's the private address. So I think even in this context it's not very important.
And I don't think we have anyone in this group who represents a public library. Is that right?
I don't work at Spokane. I work with Spokane, and I go to the public library SIG. And I was looking at this issue. I was looking for like their tag on this, and I'm kind of surprised that it's not on here. But I don't know. I can't remember them ever having brought it up with me directly, so I don't know that it's a high priority for them.
Okay. And I think.
Hey Tara, just out of curiosity, I've wondered, I didn't know there was a public library SIG. What public libraries are using Folio other than Spokane? They're the only one I've heard of.
It's just Spokane. So they
Okay.
yeah, so it's every once in a while a curious public library will come and join, and I apologize as well for my voice. I can hear myself. Not COVID for me, anyone I'm meeting in the next week. So like public libraries that are curious about Folio will come, but as far as I know, Spokane is the only one still. So it's more about resolving the issues with Folio that don't suit public libraries so that more will join rather than banding together
Okay.
public libraries.
Okay, thanks. I know it's a side topic, but I've wondered about it.
And
Everyone's
what
welcome.
was that? Is it this publib tag
I
that you
think he
were
put SIG in the
referring
name
to?
because we had this problem before. Let me see if I can find it real quick.
I haven't seen this one. Create templates to apply to user records.
So this is like their list of issues. Maybe they're not tagging things with labels actually. But I still don't. Oh, sorry, that's their topics, not their issues. But I don't see a reference to it, so. But I can ask. It is publib. I found it finally.
Just public.
Yeah. You can see it on this one.
Okay, so I think for this one, I think we can close it again. Here we go. And if this does come up again, as always, we can reopen. But I did see this feature, which maybe we could look at in a future meeting so we don't get sidetracked. But creating templates to apply to user records sounds like something that would be a lot more useful for us. Because at UMass Amherst, we are, while we are a university library, we also serve as a public library. And so we do create what we call community borrower accounts that I do think templates could be useful. So I'm just going to make a note of this feature as something to discuss in a future meeting.
We also used to use user templates. So we have various affiliate groups come into the library who do not get fed into our nightly feed. So we have to manually go in and create those patron records. So it's very nice to have templates where we can put their information, what program they're with, how long they're there, who the contact, all inside that template, and then just create the record from there.
I think this will be a great topic for a future meeting. So then, oh, this last one is more of an update. So this was the feature we talked about a little while ago. That was to clarify the keyword search option in the user's app. And so I met with Kimmy to talk about this. And there were kind of two options that we were looking at. One of them was to do this. And this would be the simplest change because it would just be a small UI change, just to increase the number of fields listed in parentheses here. So I believe we added user, or I think it was email and custom fields. Me double check what the current text says. Yeah, so right now it's just name, email, identifier. And so this would be adding username and custom fields to the list here. Really, the only thing that this will change is it will slightly widen this pane because it automatically scales to fit the text. You can see that in, I believe, inventory. Oh no, it's not. Interesting. So I guess we would. What sounds better to folks? Should we keep the column the same width? And we you can see the full list when you expand the drop down. Or like we have in this mock-up, should we stretch out the pane a little bit?
I like the column to be the same width, and then you would see the expansion when you click the little arrow. Reason being is once you get to know that, you don't really need to see it anymore, right? Like once you're a regular user and you know what you can type in there. And I don't like the column spread out that far. So that's just my personal preference.
Oh, and I should also say that the alternative that we talked about that would be a little more complicated to implement would be to remove custom fields from the keyword search option and add a separate option to search for custom fields or to search on custom fields.
That would not be needed for us. We have no problem with it being in the keyword search.
Does anyone else have thoughts about either expanding the pane or just making it so you can see all the details in the dropdown? I agree that it would be nice to keep it narrower.
I would prefer to search for custom fields separately, but I think I also talked to my colleagues about the priority for them. As in the custom fields, there might be content which is similar or identical to the other fields, the standard search fields, but with another meaning. And so to search separately might get better results.
Yeah, I think. So is there anyone who it is important that we keep custom fields as part of this keyword search? Maybe it reduces the number of clicks if you are searching for custom fields because you don't have to select the other search option. Or
we
does that not matter too much?
I would prefer custom fields to stay in on top. If it's going to be separate, I would prefer that it be above keyword then as our default, because we use student numbers or faculty staff numbers, and those are in our custom field. So when we look up a patron, we're often using that number.
So, I think, unless anyone else has thoughts on this, my feeling is that for now, because this is how the system works now, and it would require, I'm not sure how significant the effort would be, but it would be much more complicated than just changing the label. I think for right now, it sounds like we don't want to expand the column at all, and the dropdown is okay. And it isn't essential that we separate out custom fields as a separate option. And Aaron, you were saying that it would be important for you to have custom fields first.
Well,
And
yeah,
I
I don't know. I'm thinking we do a lot of name search too. I would just really prefer it to stay together, but if it can't, then it can't, whatever. But we do look up by name, we do look up by user number, and we do look up by username. I mean all those things, but it would be annoying to have to click every time to select custom fields, but there's several things in Folio that are annoying and you just get used to them. So, but I like it together, I guess, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, so I think for now we will leave the actual field searched the same. And if this does come up as an issue that is a higher priority, Ushi, maybe we could look into an alternative keyword search option. So you could search the same name, username, email identifier without custom fields, just as another option in this list. If that distinction becomes important. All right. So I am going to open, or I will add some more details to this ticket and open it up. And I've included it in our, I have a general UI enhancements ticket for users. And a lot of these are really small UI changes, like capitalizing the word folio on the user details pane where you're UUID displays. So, yeah, a lot of these are very simple changes, and they're things that I'm hoping can get done when the when Valeris has some extra front end time, which it sounds like they are going to have, for Umbrella Leaf. All right. Just to add a note to myself, finish filling this out. And now We can take a look at the gap list. So here is our existing gap list. And let's see. This feature, display custom fields at checkout, is planned for development in Umbrella Leaf. So you don't really need to talk about that one. We've talked about it before. But just to go over it again, it's pretty straightforward. We would just be adding custom fields the same way that we're able to configure which accordion they appear in. You would be able to configure which ones appear at checkout, and they would list just after the other patron information. And so this would just, you'd have a multi-select in set other settings for circulation where you could select which of your custom fields will display. So this, that's a already planned for development. But all of these other tickets have been brought up at one time or another, mostly by GPV and Hershey. So I just wanted to talk about what is our highest priority. Are there features on this list that we don't need anymore or need to talk about further? And if there's something that's missing. Oh, is there anything here? I can put the link in the chat so everyone can look at it in their own time. Is there anything that jumps out to folks as something that we should talk about?
I'm not being
What
silent to be cryptic. I'm just scrolling. Please go ahead.
what's the status of UX Prod 242 ability to protect fields from being overwritten?
So we said that it was something that we needed, but I don't think we talked about it much further. This has been something that's come up. I mean, you can tell from the ticket number, this has
Old one.
been a need for a while. And so, yeah, I think it would make sense to prioritize this. If folks still think it's important, I will have to look at these subtickets that are attached. But in general, the idea is that we would want to be able to set, I believe, at a user level, protections for certain fields if. For example, your daily user update comes in and sets all your user data every day. And you need to make a change because a patron at the desk says, hey, this information in my record is wrong, or you get something that the information in the load is coming through incorrectly, and you want to update the user record, but it gets overridden every day. And so you'd want to protect a field or the entire user record from being updated by that user load.
And this refers to the data import.
I believe this is in regards to the mod user import.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, user import. That's what this is talking about.
So it also would affect the user load by API.
Using the user
Directly.
import endpoint or editing a record via the API. I'm not sure. Use the key to pull for logic from updating the field. So it sounds like this wouldn't affect an API call that would change an individual record, like to the user's UUID endpoint. But it would affect, because that's how you edit it on the front end, or that's what the front end uses. It would affect changes happening through the mod user import endpoint. And I think a lot of the wording on these is using old terminology. I think saying when they describe the data feed, I think that is specifically talking about records coming in through mod user import and not generally updating users. Okay, looks like we've got a couple of use cases. Yeah, making sure that students remain active, maybe because they need to be billed or something like that at, towards the end of a semester. And making sure records aren't being changed to another type or group, I guess.
And of course, there might be fields in Folio which are not present in the IDM. So protect those fields, otherwise it would be necessary to first extract all the data from Folio, then change it and load it again to get all the previous data which must remain into the
Yeah, that makes
user
sense.
data.
Yeah, so there's some data that you only input manually, and that's getting wiped out. Is that what? Yeah. Okay. So. Yeah, so this would be on a user. You would want to be able to flag a list of fields to prevent them from being updated. And remove that flag. Okay. So this is all protecting individual fields on an individual user. And then this second part is flagging an entire record for protection. Interesting. Expiration date for the protection. Let's see why this would be useful. I think it could complicate the implementation, but that's not necessarily a reason not to implement it. Just thinking about it, I think We wouldn't be able to just have a drop down where you mul a multi-select drop down where you could select fields to protect, because you would need to set expiration dates on those individually. So this could add some extra complication, but I could see why it would be useful. Being able to add our bees in. Yeah, and I think this similar to the last one, it would require us to implement it in a slightly more complicated way. But of course could be nice to have. And then a way to identify records that have fields protected. Need to see records where it was protected or who have blocks. And this is a list of users also with protection exceptions. So I'm not entirely sure what the distinction between these two are. And then okay, this is the actual implementation, making it so that the user import module checks against the protections. One thing that comes up for me is, Ushi, from the use case you described with, in general, a field that you only update manually, on all of your users, and you always want to protect it. Maybe another thing we could think about is a blanket field protection that you could set at the tenant level. That would say these fields, like addresses, don't update addresses with the user level. And so I could see that also being useful. So what's the general feeling on this? I do think that it's come up enough and it's been a priority for long enough that it's absolutely worth looking into, and updating all these tickets to use our current terminology and describe how things should interact with how Folio exists as it is. Is there anyone other? So, is there anyone else? I will add 5 colleges to. Actually, I see why this is useful, but I don't think that it's something we currently need, because of the way that we have our user load implemented. We're not updating every record every day. But is there anyone else that I can add as a plus one who would want this implemented?
I guess you can add MSU. This isn't a high priority, but there are times. I guess just as an example, we've got some patron names right now that do not work for Melcat requests. So we have to go in and manipulate the name. So we wouldn't want that overridden by the nightly feed, but it's not a high priority, but it could be useful to us.
Anyone else? This one. And for folks who don't have this as a priority, is there something else on this list that is that we should talk about and that I can put you down as a plus one on?
Well, as I look at this gap list, and you know, I'm working with EBSCO to implement libraries. I do have requests for the ad support for bulk deletion of users. That seems like it's always a question. Do we have to delete users one by one? Why can't we do this in bulk? I haven't heard it described as a real blocker for libraries, but it's a question I personally have encountered a lot. And I point them to these tickets or something like it, to say this isn't possible yet, but it may be in the future. So just for me personally, that's one that I've seen libraries ask about. And it looks like Aaron in the chat would also love bulk delete.
And actually, on this one.
Yeah, this is will be important for all libraries too.
Look at the tickets for this. So there is a user's you can at the user's endpoint send a delete with a SQL query or either well you could search for a selection of users to delete, and this would work for that. However, I don't believe this checks for dependencies the way that the in-app delete checks. And so it's currently possible to delete users in bulk, but you would probably want to be very careful about how you specify which users are being deleted with the SQL, just as an additional note. But I could see why we would want something checking dependencies and not just this blanket delete. Anyone else who would really like this feature? So I'll add this extra note, and I can start looking at these tickets as well, and see Yeah, let's see. This is 122. So, other two. Yeah, I think I might need to update one of these tickets to specify that what we really need is a dependency check for this. But yeah, otherwise I'll leave this on here and I can work on fleshing out those tickets as well. Any other items on the gap list that are a priority for folks that you'd like me to start working on fleshing out and updating that are a priority? Oh, and I should actually update this. So, this feature, we had Francisca here a couple of times, to talk to us about, oops, that's the point. To talk to us about a version tracker. And this is actually going to be worked on by the Leipzig team. So we can mark this as planned for development. Oops. All right. Are there any other things on here that folks want to talk about today? We've got about 5 minutes left, so. All right. It sounds like there's nothing else anyone wants to talk about today. So I think we can wrap up 5 minutes early. If anyone has requirements that are not on the gap list, I really do encourage you to put them on here, even if there's not a Jira ticket for them. Just a brief description and a use case or two. And we can talk about it in the future meeting. So, yeah, I really encourage folks to put things on here when you have them.
Yeah, great. Thank you.
Okay.
Thanks,
And
Amelia. Thanks, everyone.
thanks, everyone. I'll get the notes up there in a little bit today. I'll let you know.
Thank you.
Thank
Thank
you.
you.
Bye.
Bye.